In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. There's no doubt that as we look around our world, we see all of the things that God has created. We see the beauty in nature, whatever that nature is that you enjoy seeing, whether it be the forests, whether it be the open prairie, whether it be the mountains or the ocean, the beaches. All of the things that we see the glory of God in them. We see the care that He had for His creation. We see the creatures that He's put into this world, and we marvel at their complexity. We marvel even at the complexity of the human body that God has given us. We see all of these things, and we see a picture of the glory of God. But then there's more. As we confess in the Apostles' Creed, I believe in God the Father Almighty, the Creator of all things visible and invisible. There's even the things we cannot see. And this, of course, includes the angels. The angels that minister to God day and night, that minister to us day and night. We have this world that we cannot even see. But yet we know that it's there. We see it throughout the Scriptures. No matter where the people of God are, there His angels are. As He writes in the Psalms, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and delivers them. And in Psalm 91, the psalm appointed for today, He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. This, of course, being the verse that Satan himself quoted to try and show Jesus that he could put the Lord his God to the test. But, of course, these verses show us the promises that God gives us through His angels. And in Hebrews, the author to the letter of the Hebrews says, are they, that is, not the angels, are the angels not ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? Where the people of God are, there are His angels. And there's more. Angels are the ones who led Lot from Sodom to Zoar, who led him out of the destruction that was coming upon Sodom and Gomorrah. Angels accompanied Jacob and Eleazar on their journey. Angels are appointed to protect the camp of the Israelites. Angels guarded Job's house. Angels closed the jaws of the lions who were in the den where Daniel was thrown. An angel opened the prison for Peter and for John. An angel smote the enemy of the Christians, Herod, as we read in the book of Acts. One of the most amazing stories that have to do with angels is that of Elisha and his encounter with the angels. Elisha and his young servant were caught in the city of Dothan, about to be attacked by the Assyrians. And his servant was frightened, as anybody would be, seeing this giant army. And Elisha calmly told him, no, we have more people fighting for us. We have more fighting for us than what they have. And Elisha prayed to God that he might reveal the army of angels that surrounded them. And when the young servant looked, behold, there were scores and scores of angels and chariots there ready to fight, guarding him, guarding Elisha from those who would attack them. And so they walked right out of that city and right through the hordes of the Assyrians, and they were protected. Yes, there is an entire world that we cannot see. The angels are always there protecting us. Now, of course, there's a lot of speculation that happens when it comes to the origin of angels, because the Scriptures tell us what we need to know and not necessarily always that we want to know. But we do know that angels were created by our Heavenly Father, and we know why they were created. We also know sometime before the fall into sin, that a number of those angels, Satan as their leader, rebelled against their God. We read about it in Revelation this morning. You saw that great battle that occurred between Michael, the chief archangel, and the others. And they fought against Satan, and they cast him out of heaven. But where does Satan and his angels go from there, that great fiery serpent? He goes down to earth. And there it is that he tempts Adam and Eve into sin. And since then, Satan has been constantly attacking God's people from the beginning, constantly ready to fire at will his flaming swords and to bring evil and destruction upon this world. And indeed, Satan does his damage. He tempts us into sin, and we fall into that sin as he roams around this world with his horde of demons. But we know that the battle has already been won. For as we read in Revelation, it was not Michael and his angels that defeat Satan and his demons, but rather they are defeated by the blood of the Lamb. It is Christ and his death that crushes the head of that serpent once and for all. It is Christ who gives us that forgiveness of sins, who delivers us from temptation, and takes us out of the snatches of the evil one. So Jesus today talks about what it means to be a Christian, what it means to enter into God's kingdom. His disciples are arguing about who is the greatest, and Jesus takes to them a child and tells them that unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Often we take that as perhaps a compliment for children, and it is, because certainly these are the most precious to God. And he sends his angels to protect children. We pray for this each night in Luther's evening prayer. Send your holy angel to protect us that the evil foe may have no power over us. We pray for this great protection from God and from his angels. But Jesus talks about whoever causes one of these little ones to believe in me to sin, these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and be drowned in the depth of the sea. It would be better for him to be dead rather than to tempt one of these little ones to sin. Of course, we see that Satan is the source of all temptation. He is the one who is daily tempting these little ones to sin, and he is the one who has been defeated by Christ. He is the one who has been thrown into that lake of fire and destroyed. And we will see the completion of that on the last day. But in the meantime, certainly, we often are the ones who lead others into sin, and we are the ones who are led into sin. We need ourselves that deliverance from Christ, and he gives it to us. In his death, he destroys death, and in his resurrection, he shows us that one day we too will be raised from the dead. Jesus says in verse 10 of Matthew 18, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven." See, angels are always in the presence of God. That is, they're always hearing the word of God. They're always gladly worshiping the glory of God there in the heavens, in addition to protecting us. And so as the angels do, so ought we to do. We sinners need to see the face of our Father. And where do we see the face of our Father? We see him in his word where he reveals to us his Son. "He who sees me," Jesus said, "sees the Father." And where do we see Jesus? We see him in his word. We see him in his body and blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. We see him in holy baptism where he clothes you in Christ's righteousness. So have no fear, little flock, for the Father sends his angels to protect you, to protect you from all the temptations of Satan, to drive away all of those demons that would attack you and lead you into all kinds of evil. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.